Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this avenue that you've given us to fellowship with one another. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight, your leading of the Holy Spirit tonight, that we would all be just very cognizant of the Holy Spirit's leading tonight, Father. And I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that lots of things are going to get are happening in the world today. And we thank you during this time of sequestering that you have us in, Lord, that lots of wisdom is given out and lots of things to ponder and to pray about that you've given us. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I ask and I pray that tonight, Lord, would be no exception, that we would all be led by your Holy Spirit tonight to do whatever it is that you want us to do and to say. And I praise you for all that you do tonight. And I just ask and I pray that you be with us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, all right. We have a couple of things that we probably need to pray about, and we'll get into it a little bit later. Does anybody have a prayer request that needs to be handled right now? Yeah, Pat.
Right now as opposed to later, or right now?
Right now.
I'd like to ask for prayer for my sister. Her name is Michelle, or Shelley. That's what I call her. And she lives in Washington State. She's in the process of going through a divorce now. And it's kind of shaking the timbers, so to speak. She believes that she's a Christian. But I use that loosely, of course. And but anyway, the Lord is doing something in her heart. She's having a very confused time. She's a little bit erratic in the way she is thinking. So I think that, she just definitely needs prayer. The other night I was on the phone with her, and the Lord led me through a process of talking directly to certain problems that she was encountering in her life, etc. And I was able to leave her with some scripture. I did experience something kind of interesting. I know that when I was talking with her, it wasn't a confrontational type of discussion, but it was, if I said something, she would come back at that and, you know, well, I don't believe that. I think this is the way it is. And, you know, it was pretty heavy in dialogue, but, I could see that she was kind of going around in circles. So, in that process, as I was listening to her talk or whatever, I asked the Lord to give me something that I could, you know, that I could deal with her about, or some way of breaking through. And I immediately started praying in the Spirit, and I was praying with my ear listening to her talking at the same time, and then she said something, and I immediately quit, and I simply asked her, how do you know that? She was, I don't really remember what it was, but she was basically saying that somebody felt this way or did something to her, whatever. I said, well, how do you know that? And it stopped her for about probably 5 seconds. And I thought, I must have made her mad or something. She hung up on me, but she was thinking it, like, you can tell. You, I don't know if you, you, I'm sure you're, you know, of times when you're talking with people and all of a sudden you say something and you can tell it rocks. It stops them in their tracks and they're thinking, they're actually thinking about what you said. And that's what happened there. And so I left her with a, she mentioned some, I left her with the scripture. I think it's in John 8:32. I may be way off on that, but it's one of, Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, truly you'll know that you will know the truth and the truth will make you free, etc. And she had mentioned something about, she said, well, and she, oh, I know what it was. She asked me a question about water and the blood, or born of water. So I took her back over to that scripture, and we read through that scripture. Had it on my iPhone, and I read that scripture to her, and she said, well, what does that mean to you? And I said, well, it can be applied in a few different ways. You know, and then I went up to verse 3 and read what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus about being born of the flesh and born of the spirit and reborn of the, or born from anew, from above in the spirit. So it's speaking about, you know, born of the water is referring also to born on this earth in the flesh, and then you can, and but you also can be born from above in the spirit. And she said, well, I believe it is born in, that it has to do with the birth process, born of the water sac around the baby as it's, I said, well, that is an aspect of that truth. That's one way of looking at it as well. And so she said, well, some of the people I've been talking about believe it has to do with baptism. Baptism and, you know, water baptism. I said, well, that's also an application. You can look at it that way as well. And she said, well, you can't believe both. It's either one or it's the other. I said, well, there's many different ways of applying a particular truth or principle. Well, no, you can't do that. It's either one or it's the other. You can't believe one and believe another, and it contradicts us. So I asked the Lord again, I was praying and asking the Lord, can you clarify this with me? And he threw that old fable in my mind about, I read this fable when I was in grade school, so I don't know where it came out of, but it's basically about somebody that took five blind men and took them up to an elephant and said, describe to me what an elephant looks like. One went to the tail, described it as an elephant as a whip. One went to a leg, wrapped his arms around it, and described an elephant as a kind of a tree trunk. One went to the side of the elephant and felt like a wall. One of them went to the trunk. One of them went to the ear, and all had different descriptions of what an elephant was. And so then I asked her, now what, which one of those were correct? And she said, well, none of them were correct. And I said, wrong. They were all correct in reference to the perspective, their individual perspective that they had based upon that truth. I said, and the important thing is that they all needed to get together and discuss and come together, and they would form a bigger picture of what an elephant really looked like. And then I left, and so I left her with that. She had to go, but the Lord is doing something there. So I just wanted prayer for her. Wanted you to join with me to see that continue on, to break down the barriers, pull down the strongholds, etc. And also a prayer for my brother Wayne, because he's, I think he needs some help to get over the hump and get re-involved with the Lord again, in more of a fellowship or something too. He's off kind of on his own at this point, and I think he needs some help as well. So I would just like to pray, and then if you could join with me, I'd appreciate it. Father, I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for your strength. Thank you for your word that is alive, living, sharper than any two-edged sword, does the work that you sent it out for. Lord, give us grace to use your word, to place it in the hearts of those around us, Lord, to sow that word. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the one that does the watering. You are the one that does the work in each individual's heart. I pray for my brother, Wayne, that, Lord, you would open up his eyes, his heart. Give him a desire to draw closer to you, to basically move off a dead center and start to move in a more positive way toward you, to cooperate with you. Lord, pull him into fellowship that he can express the life that you've given him, and that he can express that and he can receive from others as well, Lord. Pray for my sister, Shelley, Lord, that you would break down the barriers. I bind those spirits of deception, those spirits of pharmakia, those spirits of fear, all of those spirits that would bring in confusion. I scatter them in the name of Jesus Christ. I scatter them, scatter those enemies. And Lord, I pray that you would just send an angel to open up her eyes, help her, guide her, direct her, and open her understanding in your word. Give her desire and a heart to repent. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for your great, your goodness, your love for us, and your strength in guiding us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you've given us to guide us into all truth. And we just pray for that freedom setting experience for these, for Wayne and Shelley, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just leave with Pat, everything he's prayed, Lord, but I also come against any religious spirit in his sister Shelley. In the name of Jesus, I bind you up and cast you off of her right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that she's going to be open up, because you're going to humble her, Lord. You're going to show her that what she knows is just the tip of the iceberg, because there's layer upon layer upon layer in the Word of God. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. It's like peeling an onion. And Father, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. She's going to understand that too.
Amen.
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 All right. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead. Is that Marlon?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
I'd like to pray and just ask everyone to agree with me in prayer. I went and had a CAT scan the other day. Supposed to been a checkup, and they seen some things they didn't like, so they're sending me to Omaha tomorrow to check things out. And I'd just like to pray, Lord, we ask you to be with us. Help us not to let any spirit of fear take over. Give us grace to stand on what your word says, and not to accept any bad report. And just thank you, Lord, that they're not going to find any cancer in my body, that the cancer is gone. That's what the last CAT scan showed, and we're believing that that's true, that it's gone and it's going to stay gone. But we just ask for your strength, Lord, that we don't give in to Satan's tricks that he pulls on us, that spirit of fear and whatever else he uses to drag us down. We just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Lord. We just hook our faith up with Paulin and believe it all. We thank you, Lord. He is cancer-free. We command that spirit of cancer off of him, spirit of fear of cancer to go. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We believe, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I think my wife's got something she wants to share, too.
Okay.
I just wanted to share that the message that, I think you sent it in an email, something that a couple people had received word that the Lord wanted them to not put him aside and to stop it. And I just wanted to share that I have received the same thing more than once. You know, it is so easy to think I've got this to do, that to do, and all this. And he wants to be first. He wants to be number one. And we need to make him number one and put him first. And I just wanted to share that I had received that also. I know there were a couple others that in that. I think you had sent it in an email or something, but that's all I wanted. I just wanted to say I got that too.
Okay. Amen. You got a confirmation on that. Well, praise God.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Lord, we thank you for a clean bill of health for Marlon tomorrow in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else?
I'd like to pray, Michael.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for that last word that you just shared, Lord, with us. And it's been a deep desire in my heart, Lord, to seek you more. And you know that I've been struggling with that, Father, and I ask you to work your grace in my heart to seek you more diligently, Father. And Lord, because of my work schedule and I really have to get up really early to be able to seek you, Lord, and I want to do that. I really want to do that, Lord, and I just ask you to give me the strength, Lord, in the flesh and in my spirit to be able to get up really early and seek you in prayer and reading your word. The times that I've done it, I've been really blessed, Lord, but I struggle to keep going at that. I start up, I fall back, I start up and fall back, and I miss, Lord, that fellowship with you. And I just ask you to work it in me, Father, to be able to get on track and stay on track and not fall back, Lord, and help me to go to bed early with my family, Lord, with all our trials and so forth. It's so difficult sometimes, but Lord, if you could just work it so that we could be diligent in watching our time and just doing the important things instead of getting distracted by all the nonsense, Lord, in our lives. Father, help me to clean up my life, Lord, and put away all the things that are not necessary. They're just busy work, Lord. And yes, Lord, help me to focus on the good things of the kingdom, Father. Lord, and I also ask for healing, Lord, in my family. I ask this for deliverance from the spirit of sickness, Lord, Lord, all this coughing and sneezing and sinus problems and in the children. And Lord, we just get so restless, struggling against those things, Father. And I just ask you for your blessing and protection, Lord, and deliverance. And I pray, Lord, for deliverance and protection against all this chemical spraying that's going on over around our house, Lord. It's so thick. It's just, it's terrible. But Lord, I trust you, Lord, that your divine protection will be over my family, over myself, Lord, and my children, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for everything that he's prayed for, his family. And I thank you, Lord, it's going to be answered in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I got a praise report, remember, from last Tuesday when you all prayed for me. You know, that was okay. a lot of answers, you know, and just a lot of questions, I guess, answered. But last Monday, you know, I'm fear of rejection and rejection free. Haven't had issues. And since Tuesday, well, let's see. That was actually Tuesday, you know, when you guys prayed for me. But last Monday, you know, since about that time, I've been on top of things at work. You know, I kind of have a renewed focus of what to pray for. You know, and since the enemy can't really frustrate me anymore, you know, the circumstances around me, because I'm able to just, you know, deal with that recklessness of driving and all that stuff, you know, he's now, you know, the next kind of thing he wants to do is try to shame me, you know, because I decided to put some bad influences out of my life for the time being. You know, I thought, well, I mean, if I can't leave this toxic, you know, environment for good, I can leave some toxic individuals aside who try to bring me down, you know, and are just bad influences right now. So I said, you know, I'm going to put them out of my life for however long. You know, I mean, I'm not strong enough at the moment to deal with those people and to be around them, you know, so I said, I'm going to put them aside. They're not positive in my life. They're not helping me. They're just bringing me down. And so, you know, lately, I mean, you know, the enemy's just trying to shame me. Oh, you know, you left those people that could be a company to you. But, you know, of course, I have others I can talk to. So, you know, praise the Lord. He's doing a work there. So, you know, and thank you for the other prayers, everybody. You know, it's I feel like I'm right on back on that good path, you know, have a renewed strength, desire, and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Joe. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? I'd kind of like to pray, since we're in this 6 days of sequestered business with the Lord. Lord, I just pray for all of us, Lord. We don't want to do anything, Lord, that's going to be displeasing to you. Lord, take all worldliness, all self-pleasure out of us, Lord. And I ask, Father, to help us to live filled with the Holy Spirit and to be led continually by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Father, I just pray to set our heart on perfect integrity without any reserve, and let our will be wholly subservient to your will, Lord. Just let it be that way, Lord. Put your will in us to wholly serve you, Lord, to serve you entirely, absolutely, Lord, and to make no provision for flesh in each one of us to fulfill the lust thereof. Lord, we thank you for your faith put in us to believe in the love and the power of God to keep us day by day. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Lord, for every one of us that's going to be doing exactly that this week. In Jesus' name, tear it all out of us, Lord. Take all self, world, and all of that junk out of all the darkness out of our hearts, Lord. And we praise you that you are, as a matter of fact, doing that as we seek you daily. And Lord, let us come out on the other side, absolutely surrendered to your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise you, Lord, for that. Okay. Anybody else got a praise report or prayer? Would they like to pray or would like a prayer request? I I will say a couple of things that I wanted to go over. I wish Missy was here. She's not. I don't know where she is, but Marilyn's here. That's good enough. I don't know if Julie said anything to you, Marilyn, the other day about Saturday, doing Saturdays. Okay. We would like to open up on Saturdays another conference call. And I don't have to be ever, you don't have to come if you don't want to. It's not one of those kind of things. It's for prayer, primarily. It's primarily for praying for the things that you need or praying for somebody else. It's primarily for what it's for, and fellowship, of course, but primarily for praying. And I'd like to start it about 8:30 our time, which is, I know it's a little bit early for you, Marilyn, but over here, 9:45 is our time would be, it would be sometime around 12 before we got through.
But, that's not a problem at all. Starting earlier is absolutely no problem for us.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. We'd like to start at 8:30. Now, I'm not going to say this is going to be every Saturday. There's going to be some times that I'm not going to be able to show up, but y'all can. You know, I'm not going to limit it to, you know, it's going to be just if you need prayer and you want to pray and you want to have a little bit of fellowship. I know a lot of you out here, you don't have anybody to fellowship with, and that's the reason for the conference calls. And I had been talking to Marilyn and Julie, and we had a wonderful time here a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was. I imposed myself on these ladies, and we asked if Barry couldn't help me along. So it wouldn't just be the girls and me, and Barry helped me out. But we had an awesome time. And I said, man, this would be awesome for those other people out there that can't get on during the week, but might be able to get on in the weekend. So we're going to open it up possibly this Saturday. I'll send out an email. Okay. I'll send out an email. It's going to be at 8:30.
8:30 in the morning, right?
No, of course not. It'd be 8:30 at night.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I was going to need to set the alarm for that.
Okay. But anyway,
I misunderstood.
Yeah. 8:30 in the morning. That would be, let's see, that would be what? That'd be 5:30 your time, wouldn't it, Marla? Yeah. That'd be 5:30. I know she ain't awake by then. Some of us are, but anyway. So 8:30 Saturday night, and I'll send an email out next few days and with some topics. Just start writing down what the prayer requests are, you know, and we can pray about them on Saturday night. We had an awesome time. We pray in the Spirit. We pray, you know, whatever has to be done. And just have an awesome time. So we're just going to open it up. All right. Anybody else? I did want to ask you. I've had some people ask me if y'all wanted to watch the State of the Union tonight. That's up to y'all. I can watch it later, whatever. But if you want to, I can share it on screen and we can all watch it. Does anybody want to watch it at 9:00 my time, which would be in about 30 minutes? Okay, Pat's one. Joe's one. That's two. Denny's one. That's three. Dave says, okay, I don't care. Don says he wants to. Joe don't care. I know Joe Britt don't care because he ain't got a dog in this hunt. Andrew, Leon, okay. Did y'all hear what I just got through saying? No. I was asking everybody, if they wanted to listen to the presidential State of the Union address at 9 o'clock. I don't know how long he's going to talk. He generally don't talk very long unless he's got something going. So, yeah, Leah.
They said it would be a little shorter than the last time, and the last time was 88 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So okay.
Probably 75 minutes.
So that would put us a little over. It's whatever y'all want to do.
I didn't put my hand up, by the way.
Yeah. Just whatever y'all want to do. It's y'all's conference call. Y'all still want to watch it?
Yeah, I don't mind listening to them. I don't know if I'll stick around the whole time because I got to get up really early tomorrow. I got to get up at 1 in the morning.
Well, I feel your pain, brother. 1 o'clock? Oh, my.
I can watch it later.
Well, okay, you can watch it later if you want to. Amen.
If we get it, you know, we can download it or whatever later. Then we can, the quality would probably be better anyway.
That's up to y'all. I mean, is everybody want to do that or you want to listen to it real time?
Mike?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. I rather listen about the Bible and the verses and the scriptures, what they mean. I can watch that any other time, but it's
okay.
Up to you.
All right, that's one that don't want to. Okay.
If it's that long, I just assume wait and see it later, listen to it later.
Okay, well, that's fine with me. That's fine with me. I didn't figure it'd be that long, but 88 minutes. Oh, my, what can you talk about that long? A State of the Union, I guess, huh? Yeah. He's going to be talking bad about people, I bet you. Anyway, praise God. Okay, something else, just bringing it up, naturally speaking, we've gotten verses in a couple of mornings about the wall, not to be praying that the wall gets put up. And some questions were asked. Well, is the wall, you don't want us praying for the wall because you're going to use the people coming across to do something? And the Lord told him, yes, he's going to chasten their apostate church with this bunch. So we're putting that out there. So I don't know, whatever y'all feel led to do. You know, you can ask the Lord yourself about these type of things that do come up and get some more confirmation or maybe something different. Okay. What else? Any more praise reports or testimonies? You know, this sequestering has been a kind of a, for me, it's up and down and up and down because things come in, you know. I'm thinking I got to do this, you know. If I don't do it, it ain't going to get done and da-da-da-da-da. Instead of just saying I don't have to do it. And it's always been a tug for me. But we're just going to have to who's first? You know, the Lord, all these things. My flesh are all these things. And I'm just speaking about myself and where I've been struggling with it. And it's not like I'm just completely ignoring the Lord. But sometimes my flesh gets up and rises up in me and I have to do this, I have to do that, get off track. And then it takes a while to get back in the spirit again, if you know what I'm talking about. When you come out of the spirit and you get in the flesh, and then you got to pray and get right back into that spiritual setting that you were in before. So, Lord, I'm just asking you to help us out, help me out, to get out of the flesh and to just chop it down, Lord. Help me to just, all I want to do is to please you. I don't want any disobedience in my life. I want to be able to just latch on to you and hang on all the time, Lord. I want to be like that guy somebody told me about one time, that he was talking to angels right next to him all the time in the spirit. But, Lord, I want to talk to you. You're the one I want to talk to. I don't want to talk to nothing else but you. And that's kind of where I've been. So, Lord, I thank you for helping us out in that respect. Go ahead, Willie.
Wow, I almost forgot how to unmute myself. Yep. I found it. I was checking out a couple of YouTube videos, and I was looking at some stuff on, forgive me if I sound low, got beat up with a fever, or like a sudden flash fever is what I call it. Came on me, then it went away. But, I was checking out what people were talking about the frequency of music, you know, and how even the earth gives off a certain type of frequency when it plays music, or in its sound, like, and it's like 432 kilohertz. And, you know, 432 kilohertz was recognized as a universal sound because the earth gives off that sound, birds give off that sound. You know, they all play in this type of kilohertz. Trees give off that sound naturally. Whether we know it or not, trees actually give off a rhythm, but it's so slow. The rhythms, you know, are slower. But when you speed them up, you find out that the trees everywhere around the world have a musical, they sing in a sense. Not with a voice, but with like a type of drumming pattern or beats, or however you want to see it. But a guy found that out by mistake. And if I found it interesting how it says, you know, the trees in the courts shall clap their hands. You know, and here it is, the trees themselves all around the world give off a musical pattern, you know, as praise unto the Lord. You know, the earth gives off a certain sound as praise unto the Lord. You know, everything's giving off sound and falling into these certain, you know, kilohertz that all glorify God when you break down their numbers. And then I was listening to this part where it says, you know, all of these so-called wise men in the world of music, all of these so-called well-respected people changed the 432 kilohertz to 440, which would sound like if I came up to you and screamed in your ear really loud. It had no natural warmness to it. It didn't have the flow of life to it. You know, it didn't agree with creation. You know, it didn't. And it for some reason, because of those people, that sound became the standard. And so they tested this sound out on army people to see what people in the military would think about it. And they said what had happened when they tested out 440 kilohertz on one of the army people, it caused their heart rate to rise, and it caused the aggression to rise in them and become more aggressive. When they played the 432, they became calm, you know. You just had this peacefulness, you know. And I was thinking about, you know, the elite. And I was thinking about how you were speaking about, what's that word you use? Separating yourself unto the Lord. How do you say that word?
Sequester.
Sequester. Yeah. Oh my goodness. The whole earth sequesters itself unto God daily. And it was just, when you think about the sound the earth gives off, it's always sequestering itself unto the Lord. You know, these elite know who, exactly who they are. They know they worship the devil. They know that they want to do their works of their father, and they sequester themselves off daily to do the lust of their father. You know, so I was thinking about that. A guy posed a question. You know how when you meet somebody and you get the opportunity to speak to a stranger and you just start talking to each other, you like, you know, so what's the next question that comes up? So what do you do? You know, and the first thing you talk about is your job. Well, you know, I'm a social worker and blah, 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 blah. And you talk about your job. You know, you talk about the thing that you're imprisoned to the most as your first, you know, action of having some type of communication with this guy. You know, I do this to get, to put the, the bread on the table, you know. But if you turn around and ask the person a question, you know, so who are you? And that's how the elite behave, you know. They don't believe, they don't, it's not, hey, so what do you do? It's who are you? And they'll let you know we're the elite, you know. They won't say it out bluntly, you know. We govern the world, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, as believers, you know, I can use this, the way the world sequesters itself to God, you know. The world isn't like, you know, so what do you do? You know, I make some lava and some water, and I got a couple mountains, you know, got some air. And I, you know, that's, hey, no, I sequester myself unto God. You know, everything that you see about me, you know, gives glory to God. My water, my mountains, the sound that you hear in the atmosphere from me. It's like the birds, the animals, all of them make this 432 kilohertz melody. They got this melody about themselves. And there are other ones. There's the 444 kilohertz, which you'll find very unique. And I didn't know that there was a 444 kilohertz. Until I looked it up. Now I want to hear what that sounds like. But when I listened to the 432, man, I was like, wow, that is so incredibly peaceful. And I said to myself, man, I've really been living my life in 440 kilohertz, you know? And what I mean by that is, you know, so what do you do? Well, you know, I'm a client care specialist. You know, I work for the Syracuse Rescue Mission. Instead of answering, so what do you do? You know, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, I've separated myself unto him, you know, to be a witness unto the gospel. It's like, man, woo, the elite knew exactly how to, they're spiritual people, but they're demonically spiritual people. And, you know, I was thinking, like I said, I was thinking about that sequester thing you brought up, and it, all of this was just mingling together in my mind, you know, and I'm just like, man, you know. It's amazing how, you know, I really have, you know, in some ways made my job more important than my Christian walk. It's always on my mind. Got to go to work tomorrow. got to deal with these clients tomorrow. Got to go to this. Got to get, once I get off work, I got everything. 440 kilohertz, you know, screaming in my ear every day. You know, and I got 432 kilohertz, you know, which I should be living by, Christ in me, the hope of glory, you know. And I'm just using it in that way. I'm not calling Christ kilohertz. I just found that really amazing what sound can do to the human body. Because with the voice of God, he said, you know, let there be light. And just by that sound alone, by those words alone, light was manifested. Imagine how much more your words, you know, your words in the Christian walk is so powerful, you know, that it will constantly sequester, you know, unto the living God. You know, if we bother to allow him to move us to think like him. You know, because I'm just saying my mind's always on many things except for that. And then when I think of, oh, I got to get rolling to God, it's a battle through those 440 kilohertz of just mental, you know, worldliness. But then when I heard that, I'm like, wow, it's, you know, I'm thinking about this all wrong. You know, God has, you know, created me in this way that resonates harmony with him, you know, that resonates the life, you know, that he's given unto me, you know, and I need to respect it as an all around, you know, source of my actions, you know, an all around source of my actions. If my job has bothered me, okay, let me pray about my job. If I got clients on my mind, let me pray about these clients, you know, instead of just that job is suddenly a torment, you know, oh, got to, you know, hate waiting at the grocery store. There's so many people there. Well, let me pray about the grocery. Let me pray about the people at the grocery store. Let me pray for the people at the cash register place, you know. But yeah, that's all I got to say. I did find that very interesting. You know, the elite, they think very spiritually. You know, they're not playing. You know, they don't get off of that demonic spiritual level. You know, sometimes, you know, we get distracted. We get off of that. We get off of it. You know? Yeah, that's all I got to say.
Hey, Willie, you being a musician and Don being a musician, I heard a couple of musicians talking about tuning their guitars at a certain frequency for gospel music so that it would be more melodious and acceptable to the human ear. Don, can you, y'all know anything about that? You need to unmute, Don.
It disappeared, so I thought maybe you did it. Okay. Okay, you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Back about 3-4 years ago, our music leader did that. We went from 400 to 432, and he gave a little lecture at that time. And we did that for a few weeks. And then we went back to 400. I don't remember why. And I don't remember what I had to do with the electronic piano. How to go from 400 to 432. But all the guitars had to, it took a little while for them to tune to that. That may have been part of the problem. I don't remember now, but we did it for a few months.
So why did you change back? Which one is the one more acceptable? Which killer? Which frequency?
432.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I remember hearing that. Remember hearing a lot of what Willie was saying. What do you play, Willie?
I play a number of different instruments.
Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember you saying that now.
Mm-hmm. And it's if you ever get a chance, just even with the thing when we looked at the water thing and how water, words affect water, you know, if you look at 432 kilohertz, what it does to sound and the beautiful patterns it creates, just by the vibration of 432 kilohertz, not words, just its vibration. You know, when you hear a tuner, it gives off a certain tonation. And you can tune it to make a humming tonation at 432 kilohertz, and it will form these beautiful patterns in the scene. At 440, it breaks them up. It still tries to form the pattern, but it looks all broken, you know, and it doesn't seem to flow together right at all. It's less damaging to the vocal cords, you know. It's less damaging to, it's like, you know how singers have to take breaks? It's because they're singing at 440. At 432, you can just show up and sing. And it has this warmer sound. It has this fuller sound, you know, and it enters into its resignation, you know, comes in agreement with the resignation of our body. And I just found that really interesting, you know.
How do you determine determine when you're at 432? What kilohertz am I What kilohertz am I talking at? You know, how do you ascertain that? How do you figure that out? With instruments and things.
You can do it with a tuner.
With a tuner?
Yeah. Okay. If you have an electronic tuner,
yeah,
you can tune your instruments to 432.
Oh, really?
And usually, and this is why I call it, like, this is why I say it's related to God, because it's at 432, you can tune it to the key of A. They would always kept saying the key of A, and I kept seeing that A, and I'm like, oh, nah, I can't. Hmm. You know, alpha. And it just shows how 432, you know, shows the beauty of the creation process. And when they start breaking the numbers down, they all lead right back to God. It's incredible. Go ahead. I'm sorry. What's that?
Go ahead, Sue. Sue, do you have a question or did you have something?
Yeah. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Okay. Yeah, I remember, Don, remember we talked about that one time about there are certain keys that you use, minors, the minors, like you were saying, A, and the minors, it just seems like, I don't know if that has to do with the tone or anything, but when you're in an A minor, it seems like I get a lot of songs with an A minor, and it just seems like it sounds more, I don't know if it sounds more Jewish or or what, but there is something into that, yeah. When you mentioned that, about the A, you know, the note, the A, the key of A. It seems like that's, there's some strength in that.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, most of the songs that Israel sung, you know, it's just the way those notes break down. All those numbers lead right back to something about God, the nature of
God. I think that's neat.
And I'm sorry. Let me stop.
No, that's all right, Willie. Michael had his hand raised. I figured he got something he wanted to throw in there.
Yeah, because, you know, I grew up playing the cello and the string trio and orchestra and whatnot. So after a while, you know, using a tuning fork at 440, you start I started memorizing. I can hear A, 440 A anyway. Without a tuning fork, I got to the point where I could just hear it without even using a tuning fork. And, you know, in an orchestra situation or a string group, the concert master will, you know, play their A on their violin, and then everybody tunes up to that. So I imagine you could, you know, sand your tuning fork down. No, to get a higher frequency, you have to solder on some metal to get it to vibrate at the lower frequency, I guess. I guess you could buy a tuning fork for that. You know, you just bang your tuning fork on your hard head, and then you put the tip down on your cello or your violin or whatever, and you get the, you know, get the resonation. Or you could go electronic.
How do I tune my Jew's heart?
Yeah. I don't know. But you know, when you're talking an orchestra, you're talking about a massive change. Mm-hmm. And then when you go to play along with, what I like to do is I like to put on a, you know, I was going to say put on a record with, you know, with a real needle. No. No, when you play a recording you're playing along with a keyboard, it's frustrating when you have to kind of, your piano's not tuned to it or whatever. It's tuning a piano, of course, you know, you're stretching tuning up higher, you stretch higher, and down lower, you change it. It's not perfect because the piano, there's a lot going on there. And some people, you have to stretch a little higher or a little bit less, depending on a person's ear. So, and the tuner, the piano tuner has to be aware of who he's tuning the piano for, because it can change for different people. Depends on what they hear. So it's a, this is huge, really. A is one part of a piano, but you're talking about a massive stretch tuning situation. You can start at your A, but then you're working from there, and it's, you know, with a piano, it's constant compromise. It's not exactly perfect, because if you go perfect, if you start at A and then you're tuning fifths and you keep doing fifths, by the time you get to your A flat, you're so screwed up that, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. An A stretches over to a B flat, and I have no idea what you're talking about. So I'm sure most of the people on here don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Piano, you know, pianos, I mean, if you're a digital keyboard, you can do all kinds of stuff. But with a real regular piano, you're talking about a massive job. You can start with a given A, but then you're working from there, and it's not going to be exactly the same an octave higher or lower because you're stretching. So anyway, it's just interesting, this whole discussion, because over the years, I just memorized where A is at 440. And some people have perfect tuning, they perfect pitch. They can pick up any number, or not any number, any note. And they can name you what that note is when they hear it. But I don't have that.
Amen.
Of course, with horns and woodwinds and stuff like that, you're talking different. It's a different technology. No, it's a different... you know, a lot of horns are B flat instruments, and
okay. And okay.
Strings are A. Horns sometimes, horns and woodwinds and whatnot are you tune them a little differently. I think, I don't know. I've never played any of those.
Where is the tune up thing on my harmonica? I don't have one, I don't think.
It's blow harder.
The blow. Okay. Well,
or you suck. Please. You suck harder.
Yeah, I know.
You bend your note. I don't know. I've played like the sax. I've played with people with woodwinds, and they can, you know, if we're not quite in tune, they can bend their note to match the piano. But the piano is a pain to tune, you know, if you're in a live performance. So people can tune, they can bend their notes.
Okay.
Of course, with a violin or cello or something like that, you can, you're okay until you hit your open string, and then you're kind of hosed.
Yeah.
But, you know, if somebody's good, they can avoid the open strings.
Okay. Let's get off of this. How about that? Go ahead, Pat.
I have one question first before we get off to Willie. Willie, when you were talking about the, obviously, the different frequencies there and the effect that it had on you or on individuals or whatever, the 432 hertz created more of a peaceful environment. Did it have anything to, did it say anything in the article, or I guess you were reading an article or whatever, but did it have anything to say about what it was actually doing to us?
Yeah, it says it does a number of different things all the way down to healing the body. A guy gave a really awesome testimony, which I thought was cool, and this deals with the pyramids. He went to the sarcophagus inside one of the pyramids. And I know a while ago, the pyramids were brought up, and the belief was that believers in God created the pyramids, because the pyramids are older than the Egyptians. And the pyramids, for some reason, when you play that 432 kilohertz in there, the guy hurt his back really bad. And he went in there and he played that tune in the sarcophagus area. And he didn't notice it, but it was something like maybe 10 or 20 minutes later, the pain was gone, you know, and it never came back to him. And I found that interesting how, you know, tonation has healing power. And I'm like, man, how much more in the spirit? You know, here's this man, he probably doesn't know nothing about God, you know, went into a pyramid that was probably built by the people of God, played a certain tonation, and his back pain was totally taken away from him. He was not expecting it. He didn't go in there to get healed, you know. And I just found it, you know, that tonation comes in agreement with creation, healing, you know. And in some forms, deliverance. And so I found that really, really interesting. That's why I brought it up, you know.
The question, when you say that, I'm brought back to, it reminds me of some of the examples or testimonies of people that have died and gone to heaven and come back. And a few of them that I've listened to, they've mentioned that though they couldn't explain it, but you could see the frequencies, the different frequencies. You could see them like you see light, but you could see the frequencies. And to me, it I know that there's a very subtle thing that I have picked up as far as when you understand a truth or something in a scripture, there's something in you that happens that either, I don't know if it's brings you into harmony with that particular word. And I'm wondering, and there's a peace, a satisfaction, in that experience, it makes me wonder if it's not connected in some form to this frequency that you're referring to, a spiritual frequency. I have an example of that God tunes, that we are created a certain frequency. Or a certain I'm going to say frequency, I'm probably stumbling here, but when we are attracted, and God is of that same frequency, and when we get close to, the closer we get to God, even before we were Christians, that excitement or that desire, that peace, that thing is stirring. We call it stirring in our heart, with more of a desire towards God. And the closer you get, the stronger that vibration gets. And the closer you get until you actually meet Jesus, you become aware of who he is, where that you are resonating, your spirit is resonating in that same frequency and harmony with God. And so
I would say yes. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know, where do we get our worship from? The word of God. It says there is rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth. And so there, yeah, I find it. I would say, yeah. It says, let a two-edged sword be in our hands and the high praises of God be in our mouths. And so I think, yeah, I think it's very much, you know, there is spiritualness behind it. Let the things, he says, on earth as it is in heaven. You know, although you're seeing a physical carnal frequency going on, you know, it is giving glory to that which is spiritual and eternal. You know, giving glory to the Creator. You know, so are we trying to become more spiritual by our coming in frequency with God? No, we're just, you know, God uses everything for his glory. you know. So if he shows you how to properly tune an instrument and sing a song, that's to his glory. You know, if he has the earth giving off a certain resignation, you know, that gives glory unto him, that's to his glory. Even before an earthquake comes, you know, the earth makes a certain type of trumpet noise or this high pitch kind of noise. And you can hear it in the air. You can hear it like a trumpet being blown. And then right after that, earthquakes show up. And so I just find these things interesting.
Go ahead, Leon, if you got a question or comment.
Yeah, I've also seen some videos about the music or the water and how the patterns are displayed and so forth. And I remember in one, they were talking about the entire universe as a sound. The sun has a sound, and I'm not sure if it's 432 on the frequency chart, but all the universe has its own sound. And I always thought that was really interesting. And now with this discussion, I think it's even more interesting. And the stuff that Pat was saying about it in heaven, I've heard that as well, that they can see the musical notes and the frequencies of the sounds. I agree with that.
So should we tune all our instruments at 432 kilohertz?
I think we need to tune all our instruments to God, whatever that frequency is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I remember when we first went over to 432, something was mentioned about that we used to be at 432 at one time in our history. Now, that's all I can remember of that.
Okay. Go ahead, Pam.
When Willie was first talking, I was thinking about while, you know, when I first became a Christian, I read a book by Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of the Lord, or I'm not sure if that's correct. But, and it came kind of as a result of listening to many sermons, and it's kind of what we are experiencing now related to sequestering. And that was, I always used to tell my pastor that, well, it's easier for you to sequester or practice the presence of the Lord, or because you don't come Monday morning, you don't have to go get up at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, prepare and go out into the world, and then your focus is doing somebody else's work for 8 or 10 hours a day or whatever, and then the next day it's same thing, and then, you know, drag yourself, you know, you have from Sunday all the way till Wednesday night to practice the presence of the Lord, and we have our prayer meeting, and then you practice the presence of the Lord on through the end of the week till Sunday, my complaint, I guess, if it was a complaint, was I don't get that benefit. You know, I mean, I have to, you know, I have a thing that I have to deal with here. And that was kind of what led me into that book, The Practicing the Presence of the Lord, where Brother Lawrence, he didn't see any different. He made sure that there was no differentiation between work or worship. It was all the same, because God is with you. God is with us. And and being able to practice his presence was a matter of keeping himself in faith in the midst of that distractive life. And I'm wondering if that is the place of the 432 hertz back to frequency again, in that entering into that place of, you know, what keeps us there? What keeps us there in the midst of our working day? How do we, or what pulls us out of that? It's got to be faith, belief, confidence in truth, in his word, confidence in his presence, confidence that he hasn't left us, that we can take him into these earthly employment situations and he's still with us. Nothing has changed. So I guess I would have a question to us is, what has changed? What has changed? Did I get involved in work and forget that God is with me all the time? Or, you know, is there a particular verse, a set of verses, an understanding, a faith in various verses that maybe I have set aside and left aside, or what?
Did you read that book?
Yes.
Did you? Okay. What did he say?
Well, this is 45 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Let me see if I can remember. I'll have to, I might go back and reread it to see.
I think you hit it though. Most of it is by faith and keeping the spirit man, keeping yourself spiritually attuned up with the Lord. I know that sounds easy to say, and it just flows off the lips real easy. But to do that, then you got all kinds of distractions as you're going through your daily chores or whatever it is you do, you know. So I don't know. I know it can be a – people do it. People have done it. Has anybody got any suggestions on that? That's a good topic. How do you stay in the spirit 24/7? As I'm sitting here eating chocolate candy. Do we listen to 432 kilohertz music all day? No. Has anybody got anything they'd like to add here? Help me out here.
I think instead of getting hit over the head with a tuning fork, if we'll lop our heads straight off with the cross so that we don't overthink and we just stay on that cross and live that crucified life. I've been working with people that have been basically trying to self-destruct in front of me the last few weeks. And today was no exception. I had a guy that wanted to just fly off the handle, walk off the job. And I talked him back into the fold a little bit. And who knows what will happen tomorrow. But, you know, it's like people can push, you know, people try to push my buttons there at work too. And or whatever situation, I think that's what you're talking about is staying tuned in to the cross and letting Jesus answer the door when they come knocking. It's he's got the answer. He's already set up his movement, and he's letting us join him if we'll let him, if we'll let him lead. And you know, by giving grace, by sowing mercy, all these things that we need ourselves. If we need healing, we sow healing. You know, the only thoughts that I should have about myself is how I can
move beyond myself to, you know, putting it in a different gear and stay, instead of staying in first gear with the Lord, I wouldn't mind moving into a different gear with him. And as circumstances come my way, just smack them with the gospel and keep, you know, keep moving and running the race. And that's kind of what I'm seeing now. It's almost like Jesus having that demoniac running towards him. I think the world is run, the Holy Spirit in us is triggering people. And if we stay in the Word and we stay prayed up or whatever it is to get our flesh under control ahead of time, then we'll see that we're, that God is taking us and running us through the world to let the Holy Spirit affect as much as he can and destroy the works of the enemy.
Answer. I like that. Go ahead, Wade.
I just wanted to say something about Brother Lawrence. He was a dishwasher in a monastery. And his whole life was teaching people how to be closer to Jesus. When he communicated with people, it was about Jesus. And he would talk to Jesus all the time. His relationship was paramount. I'm going to read that book again and put myself back in gear. I find myself having been out of gear for a couple of years, kind of say. I haven't been as religious as I ought to be. And I'm seeking to get closer to God and remember the verses I used to know all the time. I want to have them back flowing in my system and coming out at the appropriate time. But Brother Lawrence, it's a short read. It's not a long read. So that's all I was going to say.
So what did he do, Wade?
Brother Lawrence?
Yeah, when he was practicing in the presence of God.
He was a dishwasher at a monastery.
Well, I understand that, but how did he stay in tune with the Lord by long?
He talked to the Lord, and he practiced the consciousness of the Lord. He sought the consciousness of God, and that was that was his main. What he did, he sought the consciousness of the Lord, and he would share with people what God gave him.
And, so he stayed in the Word, huh?
No, he went to buy food for the monastery and things like that. He went outside of the monastery, but. It's been like 20 years since I read the book, but it's a good read. It's a short read and it's good.
Okay.
God bless.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't know he was a dishwasher. Okay, anybody else on practicing the presence of the Lord? That's what we all want to do, isn't it? And be in the presence all the time.
Mike, can I ask a question?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead, Sharon.
What is the name of the book that he was talking about? Because I would really love to get that book and read it.
It's called The Practice of the Presence of God.
Okay, thank you.
My Brother Lawrence.
My Brother Lawrence. Thank you very much.
His first name was Brother. His last name was Lawrence.
Okay. Thank you.
You can find it on the internet for free, a PDF file.
Probably, yeah.
How do you do that?
You go to Google and type it in, and then at the end of the name of it, you type PDF, and it'll come up if they got it.
PDAF?
No. P as in Papa.
Right.
D as in Dog.
Right.
F as in Frank.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
All righty. Okay, anyone else? on practicing the presence of the Lord, of God. Yeah, Dave.
My only thoughts on some of this is you have to be in the Word of God. And if you're not in the Word of God, you will have, and if you're trying to practice the presence of God without being in the Word of God, you might be directed sometimes places you shouldn't be, because it's not going to be coming from God. I mean, we're spiritual beings. I say this because years ago I was in network marketing, and they're very big on reaching out to powerful things in order to make them successful in their business scheme. And I was thinking about this when you guys were talking about frequency, sound and frequency, because it started jogging some memories. There was a book written by Norman Vincent Peale. He's you could say he was on the dark side, absolutely. But they do the practice of their presence too, of spiritual things. And he was into vibrations of the earth and how you get in tune with the earth and things around you. And they're very much just as much tuned in to things spiritually as we are, trying to get tuned in with the Lord. They're tuned into Satan's kingdom, not even realizing some of it, that's Satan's kingdom they're tuned into. So we got to make sure what we're doing is balancing our life with the Word of God. We're getting the Word of God to be directed, because the Word of God is not going to change. It's not going to be altered, and you can't. It's not going to take you a direction you shouldn't be. God's not going to contradict what he wrote. He's going to lead you down our true path. So as long as we're trying to seek God, we should also have it match up with the Word. So if we're given some kind of influence somewhere, or some thought or some feeling or whatever we're being directed to with practicing, trying to walk a more spiritual holy life, it has to line up with the Word. It's not going to deviate from that. If something takes you and makes you feel like you're kind of deviating from what God's will, what he says, it's not from God. That's my only caution when people want to get spiritual, is to make sure they're also balancing it with what they know from the Word and staying in the Word, because that's going to draw you in a spiritual light and walk in the light of the Lord. You're not going to be drawn aside. You're going to be on the right path. But there's a lot of people that are spiritual, and I'm talked to. You'll talk to them. You'll see them. Very spiritual people, but they're not on the right path. They're on a light. They see a light, but it's not the light of the Lord. All right, so that's just the only thing I wanted to bring up.
Well, that's a good thing. Let me just say this first. You have to begin with God himself. You have to. You don't go to other men to find out how to get to the presence of God. The first place we do that is through the Word of God. And when you go through the Word of God, you'll find out that holiness comes from him to us through the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, Andrew.
I finished 2 Corinthians, and if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, there's the word groan, and in verse 4, there's the word groan again. For verily, in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. And verily we that are in the tabernacle groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that the mortal be swallowed up of the life, you know. And I just found that this emphatic groan
and longing. There's also some verses there in chapter 8 of Romans that talk about that. And when you go down and you go down further to verse 9, wherefore we also are ambitious. So there's another key word, an ambition and a groaning in you, an emphatic groaning, because it's more than once. And you go down to 6 and 12, we are not straightened, ye are not straightened in us. You see, so that even the apostle here is not commending himself. He's saying, ye are not straightened in us, but ye are straightened in your affections. So, you know, if you do as it says there in Colossians, set your affections on things above and not on things upon the earth, then you've got an affection, an ambition, and a groaning within you, and a desire in you. You see, it also says in the very next verse there, now for recompense in kind, I speak as to children, be ye also enlarged, which is in 6 and 13. And in 6:11, it says, our mouths are open unto you, our hearts enlarged. So they arrived at that in tuning with the Christ there. And, you know, of course, he's speaking to the Corinthians there, but, you know, you can just in that 11th verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you can just put you in there instead of Corinthians. And, you know, it goes on down. There's some key words, you know, that are mentioned all through the verses, you know. In 2 Corinthians, again, chapter 7, there's a longing, a mourning, a zeal, a diligence, you know, in verse 7 and in verse 11 there, again, a clearing and a longing, a zeal, an avenging, you know. So there's quite a few key words here, but when I was reading this over my long weekend, because I took Monday off, that this is what I was kind of noticing in the Word anyway. And I just highlighted them, and it just like went in a chorus, you know, and it kind of helped me to be more in tune in my study at that point in time. Anyway, so there are these key words that if you go through even just any old book, you can find them, and it'll uplift you into that presence, I find.
Amen. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I just figured, I just counted the buttons I had to get on. So I'm live here. I had to hit 4 buttons on my phone. So don't you wish you had a computer? Yeah, you guys already have computers. I just wanted to say how wonderful it is to take a tuning fork and bonk it on your head and then put the base of the tuning fork on your skull, and then you can listen to that, whatever that note is. So much fun. It just vibrates in your head. And anyway, I'll have to look around and see if I can find a 430. I'll have to look up the frequency and make sure I get the right frequency before I buy it, though.
What frequency is your head?
What was that again?
I said, what frequency is your head?
Oh, I haven't tried to resonate that yet. The government probably knows that. Anyway, I was just going to say, back in, you know, like I've said before, back in high school, I met the Lord, and I remember walking away from that. I just felt, it was just, you know, I knew I'd met God. You know, He'd said all kinds of things to me and whatnot, and realized that Jesus was real and God was real. All these things are real. Plan of salvation was real. In 2006, I heard somebody's talking about tithing their time, And I'd really kind of stopped spending the kind of time with the Lord that I had when I was in high school. You know, when I went, by the time I got to college and got into working life and whatnot, I just wasn't putting in that kind of time with the Lord like I had been before. So I remember in 2006, I heard this on a cassette, this guy talking about tithing your time. And what he was, the idea was, you know, there are 24 hours in a day, so just spend 2.4 hours or so. You know, it's not like a rule, but spend that kind of time in the morning with the Lord. And which, of course, means you have to get to bed, you know, a lot earlier. And in fact, what he and his wife would do is they would bow out of social engagements sometimes fairly early, just so they could get home, get to bed, so they could get up, spend time with the Lord like that. And one thing he said is, this is not a time for Bible study. It's basically just being with the Lord. And yes, having your Bible, but you can review things. But the point of that time is to be in communication with the Lord. And, you know, you can read and then talk to the Lord about it. But he said that, you know, your Bible study times, he felt, what should be at a different time, where you're seriously comparing texts and, you know, and doing regular Bible, you know, studying the Bible. So he said, so anyway, I remember I really latched on to that in 2006. And that's when I was listening to John 14 through 17, like I talked about before and related on this call, you know, for ever since I've been on, since, I don't know, 2009 or something. But at that time, I was listening to John 14 through 17 on a cassette, a little portable cassette thing, as I was driving to work. So I would listen to that, and I'd come home. And then about, I don't know, 2 or 3 in the morning, I'd get up and start praying about what I was, you know. And I, of course, I was, at the time, I was convicted about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what that was. I'd heard about speaking in tongues, and I thought, well, you know, is that what that involved? I didn't know. So I was just praying. I told God I wanted to be totally with Him. And I want to be baptized in His Holy Spirit, whatever that meant. I don't really care what the, you know, what the consequences were. So, but at the time, since I had those texts and those thoughts in my head, I didn't really have to sit down and be reading my Bible, because I was just asking the Lord, you know, well, what about this? What about this? I've been hearing, Jesus, that You said this in John 15. He said this in John 16, you know, whatever verse, because I already had it in my head. But I think, you know, we do need, you know, if you don't have that, you know, those thoughts already in your head, you do need the Bible. Sit down and, you know, read and think. Like, for instance, this week I've been trying to figure out, well, what does, you know, how do I sequester myself? You know, do I fast again? Because I've been fasting for a bit. And for me, I think part of it has been.
Hang on just a minute, Mal.
Yeah.
I Sharon, you got your picture up on the deal here. Can you get that off and go back to where we can see everybody? You shared a picture to everybody. Do you understand? Sharon?
Is it a good picture?
Well, it's a picture. Hi, Sharon, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Is it gone?
No, it's still there.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what I did.
Well, there you go. You hit share, and when you hit share, whatever you got on your computer is what comes up here, and we see everything, girl.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's all right. I figured you didn't know what you was doing.
No, I don't.
That's fine. That's fine. We're back to normal.
Just think those of us on the phone are missing out. Oh, well.
All right, Malcolm, go ahead, brother.
So, but anyway, this week I've been, looking at, just excluding things that don't pertain to the Lord, like, trying to kind of back off. I, especially with news, looking at the news, I try to just look at headlines and not read, to try to avoid reading too much detail, kind of put off stuff, just put off things as much as I can. Now, one thing I noticed was that some of my interests, I've had to really fight, some interests that I have and just say, no, I will not do that right now. So that's been a battle, I'm not trying to do a big confession here, but I have had to recognize there are idols there, that are interfering with practicing the presence of the Lord. And it's not to say that some of these things are bad, it's just that they can't be more important than the Lord, if you know what I'm saying. There's a time and place for things. Amateur radio, I love electronics and amateur radio, but and that has a place, but it needs to have its proper place, which is could be totally out of the picture for a while, especially on a week like this. So but what I'm saying is, as far as practicing the presence of the Lord, for me, I've just been, looking at Haggai and Zechariah and kind of meditating on those. They're both concurrent prophets. Haggai is pretty short, but they're both talking about Zerubbabel and the governor of Judah at the time and Joshua, the high priest. Very, very interesting and so appropriate, it seems, for this time that we're in right now. And of course, kind of a similar theme to Joel, about that we've been hearing many times, Joel 2, that we need to seek the Lord regarding this terrible army that the Lord is raising up, and seek his face regarding that. So anyway, I've just, and then I've been looking at Revelation 1, Revelation 1, 2, and 3 about the Jesus addressing the churches and looking at how I fit into those churches. Do I, what would the Lord say to me? Then the Lord's really been talking to me about, what I'm reading there. So, of course, I think we all want to be in the Philadelphia church, but I have to be honest, when I'm reading the description of those churches, where do I fit into those churches? Do I have those works in the Church of Ephesus that the Lord is talking about? These guys had a lot of works. They had a lot of work they were doing. They were standing firm, and yet they had left their first love. Well, that's how I feel. I feel like I've largely left my first love, and I'm not spending time with the Lord like I used to back in 2006 when I was really seeking him. So that's why I thought it was interesting, Michael, because you sent out that email Sunday morning about 1 or 2 a.m., I think a little before 2 a.m. my time on the West Coast, and it was just like an hour before that, I was in the shower trying to get my shower and get to bed. And I was thinking, I need to go back to this practice time, spending time with the Lord in a serious way, a lot of time. And having my Bible out there and praying. You know, it used to take me half an hour of praying before, you know, the tears started flowing, and the Lord was really showing me what to pray for. So I think it's important to be walking close to the Lord like that and really praying earnestly and doing whatever it takes to guard that time with Him. So anyway, I think I've been rambling big time, but enjoy.
Amen. No, that's some good stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, he's right. We need to spend time every day with the Lord. I know sometimes our schedule gets kind of hectic for us, but he wants us to sacrifice for him. And when we sacrifice our time for him, he'll make things go a lot easier for you during your work day. He will. All right. Anybody else want to talk about? Yeah, you go ahead, Sue.
I was thinking about, you know, I'm glad we're doing this sequestering because I feel like I've been a little lax in this too. You know, I want to spend the time, more precious time with him. But, you know, y'all talking about, you know, having our time with him and how important it is. And I was reminded of in Psalms, David, his relationship with the Lord was so intimate. He talked to the Lord about everything he was going through. Like at first he would be so troubled, and because I went through a lot of Psalms, I noticed that helped me get that relationship with him when I went through Psalms, to see, because sometimes I'd be going through those things, you know, that David was going through, and I just felt like I could relate. And then I found myself talking to the Lord like that, you know, Lord, I'm going through this tough time, you know, that, you know, and then, and always, it just seems like in the Psalms, he'd be telling about his problems to the Lord, and then he'd turn around and he'd say, oh, but Lord, you know, you are so awesome. You know, he would lift the Lord up. He would just praise and worship the Lord personally, you know, with he showed his love by, you know, in the midst of it all. And it's like when I sing to the Lord, it's like I want to sing to him personally. You know, I don't want to always sing about him, but when I spend my time with him, I want to sing to him and show him how much I love him. And I find when I want to get real close to him that I try to find songs that I can get real close to him just right away, you know, maybe one or two songs, you know, if I can get like that, you know. Some days it's not that way, some days it's just one, you know, but it makes a difference in my life when I do that. And you know, of course with praying in the spirit too, and but drawing close to him helps me to be in the spirit and helps me to understand his word more and get into his word. But it's that relationship, that intimate time with him, alone with him, that draws us when we start singing about our love to him personally, you know, because he is, when you think about it, if we're to be the bride, we got to love the husband, the bridegroom, we got to love him. Well, how do we love the Lord? Praising and worshiping him and getting into his word. But of course, we're to obey his commandments and stuff, but there has to be that desire in that, you know, having that relationship. Amen.
Amen. That's good. Yeah. I try singing to him. He tells me to just be quiet for a minute. Just hang on, Michael. Just say it, will you? No, I'm just kidding. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Michael, I just wanted to mention, I posted that link there in the chat room. It's a PDF of Brother Lawrence, of the Practice of the Presence of the Lord. You click on that link and it'll take you right to a PDF. You can either read it online or you can probably right click on it and download it, or however you do it on Windows or whatever. All right.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Willie.
Just one thing about this sequester thing. And when I started playing music, I was determined. You know, I didn't care what I sounded like. I sucked when I started playing. You know, and I would play where people were. You know, I would play out in the open, and you know, for me mentally, it was forcing myself to remember notes. But I didn't care what I sound like. You know, every lunch break, literally every single day of the summer, on every lunch break, I would go and practice. And it's like, you know, here I am constantly doing that with my music. No, until I was able to play all the notes in harmony. You know, I can play anything that I think of now. You know, if I heard a song, I could immediately play to it without hearing the whole thing. You know, once you get that rhythm, you know it. And that's where the Lord wants us, you know. Spending too much time about thinking about ourselves. I like what she said about the psalm. You know, he would tell the Lord, you know, this is what I'm going through. And at the end, he would praise the Lord. And, you know, a sequester is, you know, getting your life into the performance of having it surrendered to him. You know, I would not eat on my lunch breaks just so I can practice my music. And the Lord even showed me something about that, you know. But yeah, and now I can play whatever I want. You know, I can pick up that instrument and I feel like I'm one with that instrument. I feel like I can speak with my instrument. You know, when somebody passes me by, you know, and I pick up something from that person, you know, I can play what I pick up from that person. And it's interesting, you know, you get to that type of level of playing, you know. And just that, that's where he wants us to be, with separating ourselves unto him. You know, becoming an instrument, you know, for the Lord's use, you know. Setting apart a time where, you know, we are making ourselves meet for the master's use, you know. Even when the Lord said to Adam, it's not good for man to be alone, I think the same thing was said for Christ, you know. And that's why you have so many believers, you know, in the body today. It says that he is the head and we are the body. Sorry. So that sequestering of yourself, you know, we do it in our daily lives. You know, we sequester ourselves onto going to work. You know, we sequester ourselves on raising our children, making dinner. You know, we sequester ourselves on so many things. And we make the doing it unto God a bit more difficult, you know, within ourselves, because we look at it as, you know, this thing is so past my ability, you know, where do I start? You know, just start it off normally. Hit your knees. Okay, Lord, here I am. You know, you asked me to sequester myself. All right. You know, Father, take it from here. Show me what, you know, what you want me to do. You know, teach me. You know, is there anything in my heart you want me to confess? You know, take it as a job if you have to. Take it as practicing music if you have to. You know, don't care what other people say. You know, suddenly it comes on to you to praise the Lord at work, do it. I might lose my job. You won't lose your job. but yeah, that's all I got to say about it. And I've learned that through, you know, I've sequestered myself sometimes 13-14 hours a day in my art. You know, I had that type of devotion and zeal for becoming an artist. But where did I get that time from? You know, here I am sitting in a chair in one room, 13-14 hours a day, studying art, practicing art. Where did I get that type of time from? You know, and, you know, the carnal man will make it seem so impossible to find spiritual time. You know, but when it can find 8 hours a day in front of the television, you know, it can find, you know, anything else but, you know, to sequester yourself unto God. And it tries to make it difficult. But, yeah, that's all I got to say.
Amen. That's good, really. Yeah, we can find time for the things that our flesh likes, but we need to find time for the things that our spirit man will grow too. I had an interesting thing that happened to me today. I don't know about y'all, but I can tell you how I like to pray. I like to pray outside in the woods, up on top of the hill. And I got a place that I go on the other side of the hill there. It's got a big old rock on it. And I was down there praying in the spirit and praying about some things also. And I noticed a buzzard flying treetop high. And he came over and he circled me once. And then he came back and he circled it again. And I started paying attention to him. And he was making tight circles, kind of. And I noticed that up above him, another 500 or 600 feet, were some more buzzards. And I was praying in tongues out loud. I kept on. And that buzzard circled me 12 times. I said, he's going to stop at 3, but he didn't stop at 3. He went on. I said, well, he's going to stop at 5, you know, grace. I'm thinking, you know, and then he goes on, and he goes, went all the way to 12. I said, what does this mean? And then he took off. I don't know where he went. He just took off. And when he started, here's what's interesting. I noticed my watch on my phone was at 11:44 when I noticed the buzzer, 1:44, you see. And then, and I don't know, you know, what is this called? What is that buzzard? You know, when you're in the spirit, you recognize something's going on all the time. I wonder what that means. Oh, I wonder what that means over there, you know, that kind of thing. And so I went back to the house a little bit later, and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, and look, you got to understand, I ain't nobody. I'm just trying to seek answers like everybody else. And the Lord gave me a scripture. I said, Lord, what was that all about with the buzzard circling me 12 times, starting at 11:44? And you know what he gave me? He gave me, I believe it was in Luke 2. Let me make sure. Yeah. I'm trying to find it here, y'all. Oh, yeah. 15, and it came to pass when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Here's where my finger was. And they came with haste and found both Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known concerning the saying which was spoken to them about this child. I believe the Lord was telling me that the man child's coming quick. You know, may be coming quickly. And I believe it. I believe he's coming quickly. I think it's just confirmation for all the other words that we've gotten, you know, about the man child. So you wonder, what does a buzzard represent? Death to self. Death to self. I believe, you know, taking the old man out. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Oh, well, we're running out of time. Julie, I told everybody about Saturday night that we would, if they wanted to come in, that's fine. I was going to send out an email to everybody and let them give all the info about it. I thought about 8:30 would be about fine for everybody. Marilyn said that was okay with her. And Missy's not here tonight. I guess she's sequestered, which is good. So praise God for that. Well, all right, we're out of time. Has anybody got anything we need to pray about before we leave?
Yes, can I say one thing?
Sure.
Yes, I would like to thank Leon again and everybody that prayed for me today. And if you can still keep me in your prayers, because I'm still fighting with, you know, whoever was praying for me knows what I'm going through. And then hopefully I'll be meeting all of you in person when I move down there in the next couple months or sooner. God bless you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Lord, for answered prayers. Lord, we just, we thank you, Lord, that you've got us in this time alone with you, sacrifice in our flesh to be with you during this next 4 or 5 days, whatever it is, 4 or 5 days. Well, actually, Lord, we pray that you place it in our heart to be sequestered with you from now on, at least to some portion of the day. And Lord, we thank you for placing this in our hearts to help us to get rid of all the old dark stuff, the old junky stuff that's in our hearts, Lord, and take some of us have an old hard heart, make them back to fleshly loving hearts, Lord. We want your love in us, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the times that you have designated for us to do this, because it'll get us on the right track. I'm positive of it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us, protect us, and give us the words, Lord, when we seek you with all our heart, Lord. Come to us and show us what it is you want us to know. Give us that wisdom that you want us to know, Father. And I praise you and thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that Marlon is healed of that cancer. He's completely cancer-free. I thank you, Father, that when he goes to the doctor tomorrow, the doctor is going to see no sign of cancer. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for doing your work in Sharon, too, whatever it is, Lord, that she needs. I know that you're cleansing her, Lord, and doing this mighty work in her. And all the other prayers that we've prayed, Lord, I believe that our prayers are being answered when we speak them and we believe. And I thank you, Lord, for being with us till we meet again Thursday night, Lord willing, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. God bless you.
God bless you all.
Okay. Yeah. Good night.